Hey there, Pod Pals. Are you a print-on-demand creator looking to stay ahead of the curve? You want to know exactly when to launch your designs for every key season and event? How about a chuckle with an extra dad joke to brighten your day? If you said yes to any of these, then it's time to join the Print On Demand Cast VIP list. As a VIP, you'll get our free annual design calendar, an amazing guide to help you time your creations perfectly throughout the year. And of course, we'll include a bonus dad joke each week as well. Signing up couldn't be easier. Just visit printondemandcast.com/VIP and enter your email. Don't let another day of potential pass you by. Become a part of the VIP list, grab your annual design calendar, and let's dive into a year of inspired creating together. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast. This week, we're going to be talking to a special guest about some advanced tax strategies for your POD business. All right, you guys ready? Let's get into it.
Radical. Welcome to this week's episode of the Print On Demand Cast. Each week, join the gnarly Travis and Josiah as they provide insight into the print-on-demand industry and equip you with the totally tubular tools, advice, and strategies you need to achieve success and hopefully have a few laughs along the way. Now on to this week's Totally Tubular Show.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Print On Demand Cast. As you can tell, I'm solo this week. Josiah and I couldn't make our schedules sync up. However, I do have a really, really cool guest that is going to be joining me. And so since I don't have a whole lot to say, there's, you know, it's not a lot of fun to just hear me talk about my week unless Josiah is actually asking me. So I'm just going to get right into it. We're going to jump into the main event of the episode, which is an interview with a newly acquired friend, Adam Scheibele of Podcasting Business School. Adam is a full-time podcaster, podcasting business consultant, and the host of the top 100 ranked entrepreneurship podcast, Podcasting Business School. Adam helps service providers learn how to leverage their podcasts to build an online business and to get more clients. So, Print On Demand Cast, help me welcome to the stage Adam Scheibele. Adam, welcome to the Print On Demand Cast.
Oh my God, Travis, as someone who grew up in the 80s and 90s, I'm just loving the flavor. I'm loving the flavor right now. The totally tubular, man. This is
totally
great.
Tubular.
I appreciate you having me on, man.
Yeah. So I told everybody at the top of the show that we're going to be talking about taxes, and then I introduced you as this podcasting guy. So I just want to kind of peel back the curtain for everybody. And if you haven't figured it out by now, I've actually hired Adam as a consultant to help me and Josiah kind of with some of the business portions of the podcasting business school. But as it would, obviously, because he's doing podcasting business school, he's got a podcast. And so I listened to that a lot. And he did a show recently on taxes that I thought, man, this is really good information. It doesn't matter what kind of business you have, this is good information to have. So I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to get Adam on the show because he doesn't know, you know, a lot about print on demand, but he does know a lot about taxes. So that's kind of, I guess that's the backstory. And Adam, really do appreciate having you on. Before we get into the meat and potatoes, though, as Josiah likes to say, I did tell Adam that he's got to bring a dad joke. So with that, it is time for the weekly dad joke.
Time for the weekly dad joke.
All right. So,
all right, hit it.
You know, I know you were worried, like, I'm putting you on the spot. Are you going to have a dad joke? And really only the issue for me was which one to tell. Which shall I tell? Because I'm not only a dad, I'm also a meathead. I'm a gym goer. Mm-hmm. So like, let's combo that up a little bit. So one of my favorite meathead / dad jokes to tell is, I'll give you an example. I had a client that she was in her 70s, and she served lunch at a local prison. It's like she volunteered at a local prison. This isn't part of the joke, by the way. It sounds like I'm like leading, not part of the joke. I'm just giving you an example of when to tell this. Okay. So her name was Sue, and I taught Sue this joke. So I want you to imagine Sue, the 70-year-old lunch lady, walking into a prison and telling this joke. And it went over really well. So she walks into the prison. She's serving up lunch and she goes, "Hey guys, do you guys know any good local veterinarians?" And then you just shut up and they're like making recommendations and things like that. And then she rolls up her sleeve, flexes her arm and goes, "Thanks. I got some pretty sick pythons over here." And so 70-year-old Sue, the lunch lady in the prison, has the prisoners freaking dying laughing when she says that she needed a veterinarian because she has sick pythons. And yeah, that's a great dad joke right there.
I love it. I love it, man. That's awesome. All right. Our dad joke, Print on Mancast dad joke this week. Not as cool. Not as much of a backstory. Which side of the tree has more branches? The outside. Yeah.
I'm dying over here.
Yeah, I know. And you guys can use those. Those are free. Those are free of charge. Use them. Tell us how they go. See how many groans you can get with those terrible, terrible dad jokes. But that means they're awesome because that's the thing about dad jokes.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into this thing. I always ask people, like, what's their print on demand story? And since you're not actually in print on demand, but you are in business, and I know a lot about your background, well, some about your background. Can you just share, like, how you got into business and how you eventually got into podcasting and, like, helping people with podcasts?
Yeah, man. So my entrepreneurial origin story came from a brick and mortar weight loss business. So I kind of took advantage of the 2009-ish to 2012-ish bootcamp fitness craze. I was doing personal training at the time, decided to open up my own facility and did really well with it. And, you know, my background with weight loss started my own journey. I lost over 100 pounds and started teaching other people how to do it. So it's pretty cool. A little vibe in there, helped a lot of people. And I decided to start podcasting because I wanted to expand my reach into the online space. I'm like, I really think I could develop online courses and programs and help even more people than just the people I'm helping in my facility. Mm-hmm. So in 2015, launched a weight loss show. It's called the Million Pound Mission Podcast. Pretty cool vibe in there. Just taught people what I knew. We actually had like a ticker on my website where if people listened to the show and took some advice and lost 7 pounds, they could go and donate their weight loss on my website and they would see the ticker go up because we were actually trying to produce 1 million pounds of weight loss. Wow. So that was pretty cool. It's kind of like the anti-McDonald's sign where McDonald's has the over whatever billion served. And so we were kind of competing with that. So we did that, got into podcasting. It was a rough journey up front because I didn't know any podcasters and I knew nothing about podcasting. Knew nothing about online business, knew nothing about email list building, social media. I started from zero across the board. Hmm. And it took about 3 years to really learn all of it. And then I started making a little bit of money and eventually started making a lot of money to where I replaced my income, sold my gym in December of 2019. So,
wow, perfect timing.
December of 2019. My spidey senses were tingling. This is a good time to sell before your gym is worth zero.
Yeah.
And sold it and did really well with that and went full-time with my podcasting business school brand. And I've been a full-time podcaster focusing on helping people learn how to podcast and get clients from their podcast since then.
Yeah. I, you know, have to admit, like, having you sit backstage while I did that whole intro thing, I was just like, oh God, he's totally judging me. I'm doing a terrible job, you know? So, you don't have to tell me all the things I did wrong now. We'll wait till after.
I mean, it was at least mediocre. It wasn't terrible.
Thanks for that vote of confidence, Adam. Appreciate that. All right. So, obviously this is a print on demand show, but it's also a business show. You know, we talk about how to do print on demand business. And one of the things that you have to do in business, any kind of business, is you have to deal with taxes. And it's not just business taxes necessarily. And obviously it depends on how your actual business is structured. If it's a DBA, you're just, you know, a sole proprietor doing business as, or if you've actually created an S corp, there's different like tax advantages to that. And I don't know how much we're going to get into now, but I do remember like listening to this. It was right before tax day. And obviously here we are like a month after tax day. So you're all like, why are you doing this now? Well, tax planning is always a good idea. And so I thought, let's have Adam on because he's really done a lot of research and his show is really good on this thing. And we can even drop a link to that show in the show notes if you guys want to listen to that. But basically, I just asked him to regurgitate it all here so you don't have to listen to his show. So Adam, let's just go ahead and dig into that. What are some of the current tax strategies that you're using that you think could be beneficial to some of the listeners to the Print on Demand cast?
Yeah. And, you know, of course, before we even get into that, just to restate what Travis said, like, I'm not a tax expert, but I am a tax nerd and I obsess over this stuff because I was that guy first year as a personal trainer. I have no idea what I'm doing business-wise. And then, but I do need to, I know like I need to turn in and do taxes. So I find an accountant and he's like, you owe $8,000. And I was like, what are you talking about?
We'll be right back.
Money is all around us and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it? And what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host, Matt Heslin, brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
Where is this coming from? How am I giving you this money? I used all of this money.
That started my journey on, I can't spend all my money on protein shakes. I have to save some of this back and pay taxes and become strategic. So that kind of kicked me off on like, okay, how do I optimize? And just year after year, I try to pick up some strategies and ideas. But again, the conversation we're having here today, I'm not an expert. You're not an expert. We're people that are interested in this and, you know, this is for educational purposes only. But I think the place where I always start when I talk about, you know, entrepreneurs and online business owners with tax strategy is with a health savings account. That's my favorite super easy tool that I use. So with the health savings account, this is for somebody that has a high deductible health insurance plan to where my wife's a physical therapist. We used to use her insurance and just kind of that was our insurance strategy. But eventually she's like, I want to back down on my hours. My online business is doing really well. I'm like, cool, but we're going to be below the threshold for insurance. So we had to buy our own marketplace insurance. And that's what kicked this whole thing off. And then I found out like health savings accounts are awesome. Because in 2024, you can contribute $8,300 to this thing. And the money that you put in, $8,300, that is coming off of your income that can be taxed. So, you know, if you're making 100 grand, all of a sudden your taxable income is 100 grand minus 8,300. So, you know, 91,700 or whatever. So now that brings down our the money that we're taxed on, which is great. So it's no tax going in, but also there's no tax on the growth and there's no tax as it comes out. So this is the only vehicle where you get the tax deduction.
Yeah.
Growth is tax-free. And when you take it out, it's tax-free.
So it's different than even like an IRA or a Roth, which they're taxed on one of those two things. Yeah. You got to pick. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's super.
So, I've got a very interesting strategy around this. So we've had an HSA for the last 3 years. My goal is to max it out every single year, but not spend any of it. So, and my theory around this and something I didn't come up with this, is that I pay for my medical expenses out of pocket and I track it all and I keep receipts. So I'm obviously paying for medical. I go to the dentist, like my son's getting Invisalign. He's 13. Mm-hmm. Got my wife's freaking teeth genetics. They're all jacked up. They're like they're British or something. And so he's got to do Invisalign. It's $5,000.
Sorry, England. We just lost all of our English UK listeners.
Thanks. I love people.
Thanks, Adam.
I love people from the UK. They know their teeth are jacked up. It's all right. So they embrace that. So we got to pay $5,000 for this. Mm-hmm. So I pay that out of pocket, keep the receipt, because with a health savings account, you can cash that receipt in anytime in the future. So I'm putting money in because we got to remember the growth isn't taxed.
Right.
Right. So I'm saving onto that receipt, paying for it out of my pocket now, letting all this money that I'm putting in every year, maxing it out, grow and grow and grow. So, you know, I invest in broad-based index funds. I do Vanguard, VTI, if people want to know exactly what I invest in. Mm-hmm. And on average, that whatever's in there is going to double about every 8 to 9 years. So that growth basically is paying for my current medical expenses plus the original amount that I put in there. So it's, I basically got a retirement fund that once I am retired, I can cash in that $5,000 receipt and just get that money right back in my pocket. But that's already doubled or tripled in value as it sat there. Right. So that's my strategy. And it's like,
that's awesome.
You got to be real consistent with it. You got to keep receipts and you got to track it all. But once you get that system down, like I do a new expense. All right, take a picture of it, scan it, put it in my Evernote file. Good to go, pay it, and then just let her grow. So I keep a separate account, a cash-based account in like Ally, where I just keep money in there for medical current medical expenses. And that way, all my medical expenses are coming out of that anyway. So it's kind of organized within that as well. So
are you not using your actual insurance at all? Because you would have to then use the HSA. Is that how it works?
I'm using insurance. Like we turn in things through insurance, but if I wanted to, we could pay those bills through the HSA. So your insurance and your HSA are two separate entities.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So the things come in, you run it through the insurance. So you're just paying your deductible, but you're paying your deductible out of pocket. And then what? So you're paying all of your deductibles every year out of pocket, plus you're contributing $8,300 to your HSA savings account, or I guess that's your health savings account.
Yep.
And then saving those receipts. So when you're 65 years old or whatever, you can take out $5,000 here, $10,000 here, however much medical that you've spent over that time, because you're leaving it in for it to double, to triple, however long, you know, you leave it in there for. That's super cool. I didn't realize that it wasn't taxed on either side. That's super cool.
Yeah. So the
strategy, right?
Yeah. I mean, that $5,000 Invisalign could turn into $15,000 when I let it sit there. I can pull out the original $5,000 just as like a paycheck and use it to buy groceries or whatever when I'm old and gray. But that extra 10,000, when it grew, that's going to fund, like when I can start using this when I am retired, to pay all my medical expenses. So it's there for that as well. But yeah. And I know people might ask this question, but the platform I use for my HSA is called Lively.me. It's Lively.me. It's really easy to use and connected to an investment platform and everything. So that works really well.
I'm taking notes so I can put that in the
Lively.me.
Lively.me. So if you take out the HSA money and you don't have a receipt or an existing or like an actual bill, you pay your regular income tax on it. So it's like an IRA in that way. Correct. If you didn't have medical bills or something like that, and you still needed to access that money, you would just pay whatever your regular income tax is on it.
Correct.
When you take it out. Okay. Just making sure. Got it.
Yep. Yeah. As far as I know. And then, you know, of course rules can change on all this stuff. That's right. That's the tricky thing. Yeah, so then that's kind of a home run base strategy mm-hmm. that I always work to build that contribution first as I'm like, and mm-hmm. just another kind of pro tip, like I use the profit first system. That's a great book. You guys should check it out.
Mike Michalowicz.
Michalowicz. Mm-hmm. Good luck spelling Michalowicz. But
it'll be in the show first. Notes.
Profit first. But Mike has all these different categories within profit first. And one of them is profit. But I changed the profit category into retirement because so I have a certain percentage of every dollar that runs through my business that I put away towards funding all these retirement funds, which I count HSA as that because I am using it as a retirement fund. So as that money comes through, this is the thing I dump that money into first until we get to 8,300. Then we move to my second thing, which is a traditional IRA. Okay. So a 2024 traditional IRA, you can contribute up to $7,000. And the reason I choose traditional personally over a Roth is that right now my business is doing really well and I want tax deduction up front. And right. I can control my withdrawal later on, especially with things like this HSA. I can go, okay, I can withdraw from my IRA because it will be taxed upon withdrawal up to the amount that it's like up past the right at the standard deduction. So for a couple, it's like 24,000, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm still not going to get taxed on that. And then if I need more on top of that, I take it out of my HSA and start turning in receipts. And that's not exactly deducted either or not taxed either. So that's kind of my strategy there. But the traditional IRA is a great vehicle. Now, if you have children making money, this was advice that I got. Like my son's 13 and I talked to a tax person and they're like, you should set them up with a Roth because they aren't making enough money to get taxed up front.
Right. Yeah. Like
if your kid makes $5,000 mowing lawns, put that in a Roth because he won't get taxed up front. And then the growth and the withdrawal won't be taxed either. Yeah. So my kind of goal with my kids is like, let's, you know, probably really fund a Roth as often as possible, you know, until they're basically in college or earning enough money to be taxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then switch over. So and I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a Roth if you'd rather do that, but this is just kind of me thinking strategically.
It's like, it really is like, where are you at in your deductions? You know, what is your taxable income? You know, we have five kids. So for a lot of years we've done Roths because our taxable income is so low. We're in a very low tax bracket, you know, but if you're in a higher tax bracket, you're going to be paying now. And the idea is that when you retire, you'll be in a lower tax bracket when you have to take out that money. So get the savings now if you need them, because when you retire, you know, you're going to be taxed on your Social Security and that's about it, you know, unless you take another job or whatever. And so just, you know, take that, pay the tax when it's going to make the most sense for you, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Exactly. And being strategic. And I mean, you're ahead of the game just by saving for retirement, period. So that's important. And having a game plan around that. But yeah, thinking about when you're going to be in a lower tax bracket, whether it's now or in heading towards retirement, that is how you kind of make that call between the Roth or the traditional. Now the third strategy that's kind of my core of tax planning is the solo 401k. So a lot of people that have worked corporate jobs know what a 401k is. If you are got an LLC, an S corp, you can have a solo 401k. And the cool thing about a solo 401k, like people, other options in this space would be like a SEP, an SEP, IRA. And I don't know all the details on those, but I know that I've chosen the solo 401k because you can make contributions as the employee and the employer, which is unique. So as the employee, I can contribute up to $23,000 of this thing upfront as the employee. Now, the only stipulation, and again, rules can change, is that you can't make $18,000 and contribute $23,000. You can't contribute over the amount that you are earning that year from your business. So if you make 100K and you can contribute 23K as the employee, and then that's $23,000 off of the taxable income, which is fantastic. Right. And it's going towards retirement. Then the employer contribution is something in the 20 to 25%. It's always kind of shifting around. Let's say 22%, maybe it's 25%. Anyway, it's in that realm. You can look it up. You can Google it. But 20-ish percent of your overall taxable revenue can be contributed by the business as an employer contribution. So you make 100K, you can contribute around 20, 25-ish.
To the employee.
Yes, to the solo 401K. Right. So the combined max total is $69,000 potentially. Wow. In this. So you can really have these large contributions if you're really looking to get ahead on retirement and lower your taxable income now. This is a great strategy to do it. So that's kind of the third thing that I fill up. And I went through Vanguard now, on that and just kind of kept it simple.
Now, just to clarify, you can't do this if your company is a DBA or if you're a sole proprietor. Because you can't have an employee as a sole proprietor. You have to be an S corp or an LLC to have an employee that you can set this up. Is that correct?
Yes, you got to be. You need to be an LLC or an S corp to be able to do this.
Okay,
yes.
Got it.
Yep,
that makes sense.
So
cool.
And then that's kind of the fourth thing to think about is where do you need to be? Should you be an S corp? Should you be an LLC? And you can be an LLC that files. An S corp is a tax status designation. An LLC is like a legal entity. So they're two different things. So it's not like one or the other. Most people have an LLC and they would file as an S corp. But that's a conversation you need to have with your tax, planner, tax prep person, and see what makes the most sense there. So there were a couple things that I talked about in the episode that you referenced that were new that really intrigued me that I'm already working on implementing this year. Shall we move to those or do you want to?
Yeah, let's jump in. That sounds awesome.
So I listened to this podcast called Small Business Tax Savings. Great show, Mike Jezoshek. And he's always talking about this thing called the Augusta Rule. And this blew my freaking mind.
Super cool.
So you have to have an S corp to do this. You cannot do this as an LLC. So something to keep in mind. But basically the Augusta Rule is named after Augusta, Georgia, which is where the Masters golf tournament is at. So they came up with this rule because the Masters golf tournament is super popular. A lot of people come in and want to do like Airbnb and rent a house and just during that weekend, and they can charge a ton of money for doing this. And they were getting taxed really heavily from these like weekend or 3-day home rentals. So they came up with this rule that it's called the Augusta Rule that says you can charge your business fair market value rent for up to 14 days, and you can accept payment tax-free. So basically, the rule doesn't have anything to do with renting it to your own business. There's a separate strategy around that. But they said you can rent your own home. It's got to be fair market value for up to 14 days, and it's tax-free. Mm-hmm. So if people wanted to visit St. Louis where I'm at, and they wanted to rent my house, I can rent it out for up to 14 days and not have to pay any taxes on that income. The business tax hack for this is renting your house to your business, to your S corp for 14 days. But and again, you have to charge fair market value, and that's, you can write that entire thing off, and that income is also tax-free. So you get the tax deduction from the expense on your business and the income is tax-free. So let's say fair market value is $1,000 a day and for renting your home. But you actually have to do something there. So maybe you do a corporate retreat, or you do a mastermind, or you bring some people in and you're doing a whole bunch of content filming, or, social media clips, or, you host clients and do VIP days or something like that. The only stipulation is it can't involve you. If you already deduct a home office, this has to be outside of your home office. So like with me and in my podcast layer, this is my home office. Anything done with this Augusta Rule deal, I can't be having clients inside my home office doing that. It's got to be like in the kitchen, in the basement, in the patio. Mm-hmm. So you got to be using the house,
the whole house, right?
Pretty much. So yeah, like there is an opportunity here. And again, it's unique because the business writes it off as an expense and the income is tax-free. So if you do this for $1,000 per day, for 14 days, you just paid yourself $14,000 tax-free, which is awesome. And that $14,000 bill came off of your taxable income for the business bonus.
Right.
Makes sense.
Super cool. Again, can't do it unless you're an S corp because, DBA is taxed as an individual. And so there's no business expense to write off,
correct,
with a DBA or sole proprietorship. So the S corp actually makes you have to file as your personal taxes and an S corp. So you literally have two tax returns you got to do when you become an S corp, which is something that I don't know if a lot of people know, but the benefit of the S corp, and I'll just, I think I've talked about this a little bit, but one of the benefits, again, not a tax nerd, not an expert. It's not advice, just some things that made sense to me. But if you get $100,000 of income, you can write off whatever, of your cost of goods and your expenses and all of that stuff. And then whatever is left over in your business, you have to pay your regular income tax on that. If you are an S corp, you will pay yourself a salary. So maybe if you had $60,000 worth of income, you only pay yourself $25,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 or whatever's, a reasonable salary for running that business. The $30,000 is taxed at your regular income rate, which is significantly higher than the corporate tax rate for your S corp, which the other $30,000 is going to get taxed at. So you're basically saving a crap ton of money by becoming an S corp. But again, you have to file two tax returns. It's a little bit different. Like Adam said, see your CPA and see if it's right for you. I do remember though, Adam, you had like an estimate of what you need to be bringing in.
Yeah.
I can't remember what that number was. You share that.
It's $50,000 in profit. So somebody much smarter than me said, if your business is profiting 50K or more, you should take a hard look at an S corp. And the key that you hit there, Travis, is like, you got to nail that reasonable income. Because if you are like, yes, my reasonable income is 14K and then I make 500K, like you're gonna get dinged. Like, just expect the IRS to show up. If you are pulling in 100 and you list 60 as your reasonable income, that sounds pretty good to me. So like, that's something that you got to talk to a pro about. But yeah, if you're profiting over 50K, you need to do some due diligence on potentially going to the S corp route.
Yeah, cool. Was there one more strategy you had?
Oh yeah. And you can kind of combo them up a little bit with this Augusta rule. So the last one is paying your kids, making your kids, it has to be your direct descendant children. So this doesn't work for like grandkids or cousins or anything. It's not just family, it's your children. So in 2024, you can pay your children up to $14,600 tax-free. And obviously you get to write that off as a tax expense for your business.
Right.
And and you funnel that money to them. No. So
can you do this? I'm sorry to interrupt, but can you do this as a sole proprietor?
You can do,
do you know,
as far as I know, anyone can do this.
Okay. Cool. Check with your CPA.
Yeah, check with your CPA. But as far as I'm guessing, but as far as I know, as far as I've heard, anybody can do this. Because really, it's about them. Because it's them as an individual. $14,600 is the standard deduction for a single person, filing, I guess. So, boom, we're paying them that amount. That way, they're not having to pay taxes, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you got to have a legit like bank account set up for them. You need to have like a job description. So if the IRS comes calling, You can't be like, well, they go over and they sweep my office for $14,000 or something like that. But like being in the online space, my kids help me with my Instagram videos all the time, doing B-roll stuff. My third grade daughter really loves doing it. Podcast editing, social media creation. I remember my son did kindergarten graduation. They all walk up there, and he's 13 now, so it's been a while. So it's probably even more prevalent now. But they all walk up there and they say what they want to be when they grow up. And like 90% of them are like, I want to be a YouTuber. That's all they want to do. So they're very, these youths that we're rearing, they're all really interested in social media, online personalities and stuff like that. So like my son and I are going to start a podcast this summer, and I can compensate him for his efforts via this avenue up to 14,600. And the way I'm looking at it is, obviously you could take advantage of this a little bit, because I don't really know how much the IRS looks at that bank account and what we're doing with that. Like, could I go and buy my own groceries? You probably could, again, right. Not advice, not saying let's go out and do this. I doubt that they're going out and looking at that, but I'm like, I spend a crap load of money on my kid. And so like, we just signed him up for football and it was like $400. That comes out of that account. So all the kid expenses can be paid for by quote unquote him in his bank account. And the key thing is I'm getting that tax deduction. Like I'm lowering my taxable income. I'm paying myself just by creating the separate bank account. He does legit things for me. I've got a job description. I compensate him a fair amount. That's got to be a part of the deal also. But then all the camps, his food, his video games, Christmas presents, clothes,
school clothes,
school supplies, all that stuff comes out.
Roth his IRA.
Roth. Yeah, exactly. Now we can start doing all these investments.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So it's not just like money sitting there, and they don't have to like have control of like my son doesn't have control over this account that has thousands of dollars in it. Like, he's 13. He would not make wise decisions. He would have all of the, like the fake money on his NBA 2K video game. He'd be like, I upgraded all of my sleeves and shoes or whatever. And I'm like, oh my God, he just spent $14,000 on a video game. So we don't do that, but this is something that is legit. Now, when you have, there is one little stipulation to look at with S corp versus LLC. If you have an S corp, there's an extra, like you're going to have to pay some employee tax stuff. Like you got to look into that. But if it's an LLC, it's clean and you just go, okay, my kid is my employee and I can set them up and we're good to go. So, if you've got five kids, my God, you've got almost, you're nearing 100K of tax lowering power there to hire them. And obviously, if you've got a three-year-old, you're not like, she is my social media marketing manager.
Right.
Like, that's not a thing. But the tips that were given to me, have a legit job description, have them do actual things, just be ready if the IRS comes calling. And pay them a reasonable, comparable salary or income to where, like, if you were doing this or if you were hiring somebody or a VA or something, what would you be paying them per hour? How many hours are they working? What are they doing? And then, have proof. So if they're helping you create social media videos or whatever, like, you got to be able to reference that.
There's the proof right there. You can just show them online.
Yep.
Yeah. Wow. That's super cool.
Yeah. So those are kind of that's the collection of my favorites of tax planning. I guess that would be one final tip is you all need to understand the difference between tax prep and tax planning. So tax prep is an accountant. Like that's the person that you take your manila folder to and they file your taxes for you. They prep your taxes.
H&R Block.
Yes. A lot of those people, most are not tax planners, tax strategists. They aren't thinking, how do I save this person the maximum amount of money? My accountant didn't know the difference between a SEP IRA and a solo 401k. I had to explain it to him, which I wasn't thrilled about, but it is what it is. I'm like, hey, no, this is, because he was trying to say I couldn't contribute 20 whatever thousand because a SEP is different. I go, no, this is a solo. It's different. You can, I made more money than this amount. I can do this. And he had to go look it up and he said, okay, you're right. I guess that's just an example too, just understanding basics of taxes and some of this stuff can save you a ton of money instead of blindly trusting that tax prep person who's got a stack of who knows how many manila folders and they're rifling through that as fast as they can. Errors will be made. I think out of the last like 7 years, I've had 2 years that I haven't caught an error from my guy. And I mean, one of them was like thousands of dollars. He forgot to add in my quarterly payments. He filed my taxes as if I made zero quarterly payments.
Oh, wow. Which
I was like, how in the world do I owe this much money? Jeff, how do I owe this much money? I'm freaking out. And we're digging through it. And he goes, did you do your quarterly payments? I'm like, yes, Jeff, I always do that. So anyway, you know, but that's a tax prep. A tax planner is somebody that's going to think strategically and go, okay, yeah, you need to do a Roth instead of a traditional or vice versa, or a solo 401k versus a SEP. Are we doing the Augusta rule? Like really looking at how do we lower our taxable income as much as legally possible.
Yeah, man, that's some awesome advice. And I mean, when I heard you, you know, you said, hey, I'm a tax nerd. I really love this podcast, blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, I feel you, bro. I'm kind of the same way. I geek out on some of that stuff. So it's always fun for me to talk about this stuff. I wonder how many people have fallen off the episode already because they just can't handle numbers and taxes and all that stuff, you know. But hey, that's their problem. So
Forget that.
This is good information. Adam, so tell the people like where they can contact you. I mean, obviously you're not necessarily in print on demand, but I don't know, maybe somebody wants to start a podcast. I don't know, just kind of give them the rundown of what you do and all the things.
Yeah. So, I appreciate you all that did stick with it here today. My main hub is just the website, podcastingbusiness.school. My podcast is Podcasting Business School. If you search Podcasting Business School or even just podcasting tips anywhere, that'll pop up. And Instagram is at Podcasting Business School. And I actually I have dabbled a bit in the print on demand t-shirt business. So I make these shirts that say your mom subscribes to my podcast, and you can find those at yourmomsubscribes.com. Legit. Like that's actually the URL that I own, yourmomsubscribes.com. And I do quite well with those at the podcast events. So if you're a podcaster,
that's hilarious.
Go grab it and tell your mom thanks.
Yeah. You also have one of our shirts. I brought you. Podcasting professionals, Guns N' Roses parody. Dude,
I told you, I spoke at an event in Cleveland earlier last week and everybody loved it. They're like GNR and like instantly recognized the logo and they thought it was a content creator expo. So,
that's perfect.
Yeah. Your podcast professional shirt is a huge hit.
That's awesome. All right. Well, Adam, thanks so much again for being on the show. And I really do think this is really valuable information, guys. You know, you might want to re-listen. You might want to take some notes. I'll put as much as I can remember in the show notes for y'all, links and such. But thanks a lot for sharing all this stuff, Adam. Really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Thanks to all the POD listeners out there. Appreciate you tuning in and supporting the show.
All right. Well, that's it for the Print on Demand cast. Until next time, we'll see ya.
Hey, babe. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Print on Demand cast. We hope you enjoyed the Totally Tubular show. If you've got a question or a suggestion for the show, send Travis and Josiah an email at info@printondemandcast.com. Want to be wicked nice? Take a minute to rate and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe now so you don't miss next week's episode. See you next time for sure.
In a world where businesses everywhere are trying to make print-on-demand sales, one podcast goes above and beyond every week to bring the most POD-specific information there is, all to help save the day, every day. Don't succumb to the enemies of your print-on-demand business. Sign up today for the Print On Demand Cast VIP email at printondemandcast.com/VIP. This time, it's for real.